Hello and welcome to That Sports Gamer Show, PAX East Special Edition. As always, I'm your host, TJ Lauerman, and alongside me in person, Rich Grisham.
Hello!
And visiting us from the great up north, is that even what they call it anymore?
It's the great white north.
The great white north.
Yeah.
Greg Stewart.
The great Greg
Hello.
Stewart.
That's right. Drinking my chocolate milk.
Drinking his chocolate milk.
Trying to coat my throat so I don't destroy Rich's sports gamer panel. And
oh, that's impossible. We are all, we're about an hour away from doing the panel. And I think we're hoping some people show up.
I hope so. Well, you know, I saw like two people in the holding room over there.
That's good.
So I don't know if they were there for us.
There is another
Let's say they were there for us.
Well, it's already in there, isn't it?
There's a 2-3.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, it's not looking good, Rich.
It's all right. It's a big room. So I mean, you've got a few guys coming at least, right? So
yeah, but they're mostly going to be there to heckle me. So
that's fine. But any audience participation is good audience participation.
Yes, I've heard
especially
that.
Last night when we were recording it, when we were at the at dinner, and people just randomly started sitting down.
Yep. Yeah, there was a lot of sidlers.
Yeah.
Appearing last night.
It was an interesting night.
Yeah. I still don't know who Alex was.
I
can't remember the names of half the people I was actually introduced to last night, but yeah. I'll never forget Alex.
That's awesome.
I wonder if Alex listens to this. That'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Here's to you, Alex.
So what's your favorite thing you've seen or done or heard so far, TJ?
Just the dinner we had last night.
That was great.
Not really much sports stuff here, so.
We did play Big Fly Baseball.
Big Fly Baseball by Metalhead cool. Studios, Metalhead Software.
How did it compare to Backyard Sports Sandlot Sluggers?
Unfavorably.
Really?
Okay. No, I'm just
That's
kidding.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more like the Nicktoons MLB kind of games.
That's cool.
It looks fun. I'm interested. They said it's up to four players.
Yeah, four
I'm
players.
Interested to see how you would have four people playing it. I did, by the way, for the record, I did beat TJ soundly in our 5-inning game.
I mean,
I hit several home runs.
I'm not used to playing trial games. I'm a simulation sports player.
Ah, okay. All right.
I think that's we were talking about that a little bit last night, the whole idea of how, you know, sports sims are getting really, really kind of obtuse.
Yeah.
Kind of really hard to get into. So maybe there's going to be a market for those more simple sports games
and
just
it looks,
the essence of the game.
Yeah, and it looks great. Like, it looks... The art style is really nice. Non-licensed, just, you know, a bunch of, like, characters, basically.
I played as the Sirloins.
Sirloins.
Who did I play? I don't even remember.
Were you the Buzzards?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Buzzards ate Sirloins.
But it's interesting, too, because it's like a 3- or 4-person company making the game.
Mm-hmm.
They've been working on it for over 3 years.
And that's who's got to do it, because all the big developers don't want to make
kiddie
baseball games anymore.
No. Well, except for Atari and Backyard Baseball. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop advertising a 4-year-old game that nobody bought.
I'm telling you, Little League World Series 2010.
I don't know.
That was the game play.
It was a great game.
You probably didn't hear. I interviewed Gus Ramsey, and actually he referenced that specific game
really?
As a game that got his kid into baseball.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Nice.
He's since graduated to the show. But
well, yeah.
He said, you know, that absolutely the backyard baseball games were critical to introducing him to the sport as well as introducing him to video games.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Makes me feel happy.
You know what Greg didn't see last night? After you left, we had Z Farrell's the Madden Bible guy.
Mm-hmm.
Him, Mike Susick, and Craig Kajawa were all talking about Madden. There was a point where you could look in to Zach's... He was talking, and his eyes would close, and you could, like, see him searching his mind for all the Madden information
That's
that he has. He's like, that guy's 6'7", with a 83 catch in traffic, and it's like...
Yeah.
I don't want to challenge that, because I'm pretty sure if anybody knows, it's him.
Yeah.
I heard him and Craig talking a little bit last night, and I was like, I'm out of my league.
Oh, yeah.
Like, completely. I mean, you know...
I'm supposed to know this stuff, and I was completely out
of
my league.
Yeah. I'm not that passionate about football games, I guess. One of the things I really like about PAX that I've found visiting here is the indie stuff. So I'm really a big indie gamer. But the big indie presence at the back of the floor, there's some really good stuff down there.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily sports games, but there was one I played this morning that I found really interesting. It just caught my eye as I was walking by. It was called Chase the Sun, or Race the Sun, or something like that. And the whole idea is you're just flying this glider. It's a super high speed through all these like geometrical shapes and everything like that, and the sun is sinking over the horizon. And the whole idea is that you're driving a solar powered craft, so you have to go as fast as you can to make sure that the sun doesn't go underneath the horizon, or else the game's over.
Hmm.
That's the whole game. And it's gorgeous.
What platform is it?
It was PC.
Okay.
I think they just finished the Kickstarter. I think they said they're going to be out in May sometime.
Wow, okay.
But it's before you leave, go down and check it out.
Yeah.
And then Big Fly Baseball is winter, right, they were saying?
Yeah, concerning. He said end of the year. That is a tough time of the year to release a game and get any notice.
Especially a baseball game.
Right. Yeah.
It's between seasons, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, the timing seemed a little strange. There's still a lot of work they need to do to the game.
And they're going
to
be PSN, right? So that might...
Yeah, he said Sony is kind of their lead platform.
Well, he did say Sony has been very helpful.
Very nice, yeah.
So
they seem very indie friendly.
Yeah.
And now with the whole Unity announcement and everything, I figure you'll see a lot more indie stuff on PlayStation 4 in particular.
What else do you see that you like?
Yeah, because Greg is the only one that's really gone through.
Yeah, I went and stood in line for the Last of Us for 2.5 hours.
And was it worth it?
No. It was a really good demo. I enjoyed the game a lot, actually, when I played, but it wasn't 2.5 hours in the line good.
And this was the first time they've had the hands-on demo.
It was the first demo, yeah. And the shirt's terrible. The free shirt that you got with it was terrible. But the game is really nice. It's... I don't want to say survival horror because I guess the Naughty Dog guys are getting all up in arms. Some people are saying survival horror, but
it's supposed to be survival, right?
Yeah, there's no horror involved. No, but it's cool because there's an interesting dynamic where there's two. Well, in the demo, there are two types of zombies. Ones that are called newly infected, which means they can still see and they run at you. I think they were just calling them runners. And then there's ones that have been infected for a long time. They call them clickers. They can't see anymore. They locate you through echolocation. They're like bats, basically. Hmm. So they'll put you in a big room with these two types, and if the clickers get near you, it's one-hit kill. If they touch you, you're dead.
Wow.
So it set up some really interesting moments in the demo where it's like, okay, how do you tackle this room? Because you can sort of stealth kill some of these zombies or whatever they are, the infected. But if you make any noise whatsoever, like the clicker will zone right in on you. And if you peep out around a corner and one of the newly infected are there and they see you, then they'll all zone right in on you and they'll scream, so they'll bring the clicker along with them. So
yikes.
But it's a really nice demo.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's probably the most impressive thing I've seen at the show. Got to play DuckTales as well.
Woo-hoo.
Which is awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
That is the talk of
Rich
the show.
Doesn't get that though. You were saying last night.
I'm a little just a couple of years too old for that to hit that sweet spot that it seems like has hit for so many other people.
Yeah.
What was it originally on?
NES.
It was on NES?
Capcom made a bunch of really good Disney games.
Yeah, I remember those on Super Nintendo or Sega.
Well, on Sega, or on Genesis, Super Nintendo, Capcom was still making some good games, and Sega was making some really good Disney games.
But I remember like Lion King, Aladdin.
Yes, that was all like Dave Perry, Gaikai guy now. But the previous generation... Capcom had the license, and they did like Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, DuckTales, and a bunch of other ones that were really, really good. DuckTales kind of stands out among them. So I can see why people, and they're like mid-30s probably. It's about the right age.
Yeah,
to be
unfortunately,
really into that.
I'm not in my mid-30s.
Rich is only in his mid-20s.
Yes, I'm a young lad.
Yeah.
We need a Tailspin next.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we saw Animal Crossing: A New Leaf.
We did.
Yeah.
And as a relative newcomer to the series, it looked fun.
Yeah.
You certainly, I saw you kind of nod and smile and say, that's cool a couple times. Yeah. That's a good sign.
Yeah, well, I was a big fan of that game on the GameCube, and then I've like bought every subsequent version and played each one for like a month and then given up on it. But there's some interesting stuff in this one, like being able to dive into the ocean to collect things is nice. But more importantly, being able to set ordinances in town so that you can make sure that the shops stay open later, they open early, or things like that. That's going to be huge for that game because, as you know, as I grew up, I didn't have tons of time to
especially get to the during
game.
The day.
Yeah, you know, or if you have kids, you don't get to play until like 10 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
You go into your town at 10 o'clock at night and everybody's asleep and all the stores are closed.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything.
And weren't you saying that some of the stuff was like, this thing will be ready for you at 6:30 in the morning. Come
yeah,
get
exactly.
It. And if you're not there,
then
you
miss
get
it. Yeah. So, I mean, that it looks. I'll definitely jump in on that one again and give it a shot. And maybe my kids will get into that one too.
And I mean, ultimately, an Animal Crossing game is it? You don't win, right? It's just kind
no,
of endless. You just build up your town.
Yeah.
You make the stuff you like, and
Nintendo's going to make SimCity that actually works.
Mm. Mm. Yes.
It kind of looks like Pokemon to me, but
There's a level of that. There's a lot of collecting in it. Yeah. You collect fish and insects and
sea urchin.
Underwater creature now. Yeah. Furniture, clothing, you know.
And how do you make money?
I don't know anymore.
Bells. How do you make bells?
Yeah, bells.
It used to be that you could...
It's like a time thing?
The way it used to be is you go into town and you take out a loan from the shop owner to buy a house. And then the whole idea was that you go and collect all these different things that you could sell back to him to earn bells and pay off your debt. So I'm guessing it'll probably be the same thing. You run around digging up fossils and all that sort of thing. So it'll be cool, I think. Your son might take that.
Yeah.
Take a shot to it.
I've also got a kick out of the sea captain as he's driving you to the island singing you a song.
A very political song.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
You're the mayor and he is complaining about the government.
Yes.
Taxes.
Yep.
That was interesting. The guy said that there are different songs, too. So, is it me, or is a 90-second ride to an island seem really long, though?
Yeah.
Especially when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is that...
Can you supposed to be like that? Or I don't think you could skip through that.
I don't know, but the various songs have been kind of like a thing in the Animal Crossing games for a long time. Like, KK Slider, you'll hear all the time. Actually, if you listen to our show, Player One, every now and then Phil will revert to his KK Slider voice and sing some stupid song, but...
Wait, yeah, those voices on the show?
I know, yeah. No, we just have like 100 people that come in.
Does he do a Barney voice?
Nintendo's socialist message there and the song going over to the tropical island was interesting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bunch of commies. And, of course, we saw a dive kick from panelist Greg Kajawa.
Yep, you dive and you kick.
It is, as you said, Greg, probably the best named game ever because that's it. You dive and you kick.
Yep.
And TJ and I split.
Yeah, we
split.
He
won the first and I won the second.
He didn't let us play a third. It was pretty messed up.
Yeah.
I think I would have had him.
That's hilarious.
One of the things I just love about the show, just randomly look up and there's Barney the Dinosaur walking by.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I mean, I think I had the best sausage I've ever had in my life.
That, if it wasn't the best, it certainly it hit the spot, that's for sure.
Maybe that's what the problem, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, I had Code Red with that thing and I used to drink gallons of that stuff. I couldn't even finish half.
That's what happened to your hair.
That was terrible. Yeah. That was terrible. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's a water kind of a day for me.
We Nesquik.
Yeah, we stayed out a little late. Tipped back a few beers. At least I did.
Rich hasn't slept in 4 days.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
He's on a bender.
It will be a hard crash tonight once I eventually get home at 1 a.m. or so. But my son has made out very well because he is going to be the proud owner of a awesome looking portal gun.
I'm jealous of that.
And. I got him a t-shirt from Mutant Blobs Attack. It was a little poster. He will love that because that's another one of his favorite games.
This guy dressed up as a cop, or is he really a cop?
No, he's really a cop.
Yeah. Oh, right. That's a rather unfortunate looking cop.
Yeah.
He might be able to hear you. He also might have seen that sports gamer show.
Anything else stick out to you, TJ?
I had a hamburger with an egg on it. That was pretty amazing.
Oh, my God, the dinner last night.
Oh, man, the dinner, the waffles and chicken.
Chicken and waffles was amazing.
That's why everybody has to come out to these things.
Yes. Yeah. That was worth the 10-hour drive.
I
wasn't even going to come in today.
That was worth the 4-hour drive. Yeah.
I did not know that was a thing that even existed.
Then we started talking to, what was that guy? Adam Boys.
Yeah, the VP of third parties.
Yeah,
Sony,
VP of third parties for Sony.
Was his name.
Yeah.
I think I...
with his hipster Twitter picture.
No, there's no doubt. There's no thinking about it. I definitely was pleading with him to make the Vita even better.
Yeah.
Like, literally pleading with him. Come on, you can do it. I know you can.
Another time it was like when we were talking to...
Alex.
Alex. We were talking to Z Farrells and everybody, and it was like, so is EA going to make baseball?
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, so many people want it. Who knows?
It's hard to tell, though. I mean, sports fans want it, but...
Is it a vocal minority?
I think so. I mean, nobody would be unhappy if they can't... I mean, it's interesting. Like, if at E3 they announced MVP baseball, it would reverberate through the sports game community, but would it make a difference to anybody else? I think probably not.
I don't think at all.
But I think what they probably see is they see... MLB 2K's sales on the Xbox, and they're like, well, there's nothing but pissed
right.
It's a terrible game.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm
Rich
sure
thinks it's a great game, 2.5 stars over here.
I'm sure the license is pretty expensive, too.
Yeah, that's the big thing with sports games. We were talking about that a little bit last night. I mean, they're so expensive to make.
But if 2K is not going to do it, MLB is obviously not going to let a year go by without it on all the consoles.
No, they will want it out, for
sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's in their best interest to have it out there, but I don't know, like, we had a conversation last night, and I thought there were some really good points made, where it's like we're getting to the point where the licenses are getting so expensive and dev costs are getting so expensive. You know, I think that, I think it was Craig that said that, that the relationships are going to have to change between the publishers and the licensees, because there's no money left after all is said and done, right? Unless you raise the price of your video games, which this ain't going to happen.
Or you have them out there as loss leaders.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I don't know.
No, because the people that are going to buy the game are already the people that are coming to your sporting events. And
right.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not in charge of it. We're going to put Greg in charge of it during the panel. But,
oh, God. So I will design you the best NASCAR game ever.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited for
no
the
No yellow
panel.
Cards.
I'm not nervous. Should I be nervous? I'm not nervous.
I shouldn't be nervous.
No, you know, you don't want to disappoint those 12 people in the crowd.
That's right.
I mean, I'm nervous, so. But this won't get recorded.
Yeah.
Oh, best case, I have this recorded, and then we'll
There you go.
There it is.
You can just put this out on press row.
This is the pre-show podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, so if you started listening to press row, stop. Come listen to this, and then go listen to press row.
All right, so what's your prediction? How many people in the room, TJ?
I mean, I think all these people are waiting for it. I'm trying to get some more people in. You know, like 100? Is that good? Bad?
I would love 100.
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
It's going to be 15?
We're going to say 100.
Okay, 100.
I'm going to count.
If anyone ever asks, it was 100. At least 100.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, did you see what IGN? You didn't see what IGN did. They're like, and the million people that are in here.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Actually, they were pretty.
They had a pretty crowd.
Yeah. I'm debating whether I should play the show's little theme song to kick it off. But I'll have to play it very quickly and then turn it off because I don't have the theme song as a MP3. Yeah. I've got it just an actual intro to the show. Might have to play around with that.
Well, now's a good time to be putting that stuff together.
Yeah.
You know, just making the PowerPoint while you're walking around.
Nice. Well, I had the PowerPoint, yeah. I thought I was going to put pictures of everybody in there, but...
Oh, that's no good.
But they're going to be
You don't
want to
scare those 100 people off. You know, when they can just barely see us sitting up on the table, that's probably how we're going to look the best.
A giant-sized picture of Jeremy Stein?
Well, Jeremy's not on the panel.
He's not?
Nope.
You should just put a picture of him up there anyway.
Jeremy Stein.
I don't know if you know, Jeremy Stein invented audible formations in Madden.
Yes, he did.
So I heard.
And that code is still in the game, too.
I mean,
there's a lot of code still in the game.
That's why the dinner was so amazing, because it was just like Jeremy and Madden Bible sat across the table.
Yeah.
And it was just like, they just clicked.
Yep.
And they were so into it.
That was a lot of fun. It started off as CJ, Greg, TJ, and me.
Which might end up on Player One Podcast, because
some of
it
might, yeah. CJ was recording. Yeah. So all the inside baseball started, then he stopped.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't blame him. And then Zach Farley showed up, and then Jeremy, and then Simon. And then it's sort of like I was a little, because me being...
Well, actually, probably Craig had beat us all there.
Right.
Yeah, Craig was already drunk when we got there.
Yes, he was definitely enjoying himself. And it was a lot of fun. At first, I was a little concerned that it would sort of not really work, but it wound up being, I thought, having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Look, I'm even trying to get more people in.
Good.
You're recording an episode of your podcast, and you're spending the whole time texting.
I'm working on getting more of
you're working the floor.
This thing.
He's working doing a good job.
Because Zach Cooper is a Canadian former sports video game podcaster on some Canadian radio station.
Nice.
The game 970.
690.
690? Is that something?
I think so. I think it's out of Toronto.
He did a sports video game, that show there.
There you go.
Now he works for...
Really?
Who makes Splinter Cell?
Ubisoft.
He worked as community developer at Ubisoft Toronto.
Nice.
I didn't know Ubisoft was in Toronto. I knew they were in Montreal.
Yep, they're in Toronto too. There's a lot of money in Toronto and Montreal right now.
So. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of would like to see that game after the final.
Sure.
Good luck.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, hey, Zach, can we do the thing where we sneak back over here?
Shocking abuse of power.
Some power brokers.
Yeah. How much time we got?
35 minutes until we're supposed to meet.
Time for a nap.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
All right. TJ Lowerman.
Rich Grisham.
Greg Stewart. Well, you can talk about your shirt if you want.
Oh, do you people want to hear this?
Yeah.
They don't know who CJ is. All right. So I'm a racing guy.
Wait, is it an iOS game?
No, iRacing? It's okay. Do you remember? Does anyone remember the old Papyrus racing simulators at all?
You said it before, and I Sierra, like okay. I do.
So Sierra Online, in like the, I think the early 90s, bought this company called Papyrus, and they created IndyCar racing, an IndyCar racing game and a NASCAR racing game, which went on forever. But then Sierra eventually closed them down. Sierra got bought, and blah blah blah. It was a great physics simulation for racing. Sooner or later, Vivendi Universal ended up owning it, and one of the original Papyrus guys hooked up with actually somebody here in Boston. And he's like, I think he's like the owner of the Sox or something like that. He's a big baseball guy, anyway.
John Henry, maybe.
Yeah, and they created this company called iRacing, and they bought back the simulation from Vivendi Universal. And what iRacing is basically a subscription-based racing game for your PC, where they basically license tons of tracks from around the world, some of the most famous racetracks in the world, tons of cars, and you just basically pay a monthly subscription. You go on, you race whatever you want.
How much is the subscription?
It's like $20 a month, $25 a month, something like that.
Pricey.
It might be 15. I don't really know. It's been a long time since I've been a member.
But with all those licenses, you...
But hey, if you go down to that booth, you get a three-month subscription for free. Try it out.
And I might get to race them?
And you might get to race them. But anyway, yeah, CJ, who sucks at racing games, raced me yesterday. We stood in line. It was a six-person race. We started out. We were at Daytona International Speedway. I was on the inside front row. CJ is on the outside front row. We're doing the pace lap. Pull it onto the track. CJ immediately drove up and hit the pace car. Hit his brakes and started to slide down the track. This is all the pace lap. Yeah. So I dove under to miss him, and CJ took out the rest of the field completely. So I thought I was going to, I'm going to win the race then. Everybody went to the pits, and of course the problem is that the pace car is still going around nice and slow. I'm going 50 miles an hour. Everyone's going 200 miles an hour trying to catch up to the pace car. Not stopping to think that I can't slow down when I get there. So all of a sudden I look in the mirror, and here comes somebody coming at me 150 miles an hour faster than I'm going. Just rams me. Destroys my car. So I'm puttering around at about 75% throttle when the race actually starts. Everyone wrecked again, so I thought I was going to win. And then CJ passed me in the final corner of the last lap and won the race. And but he felt so bad that he gave me the t-shirt he won. And I'm wearing it today because screw him, I won that race.
It's a very poignant and touching moment.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Rich Grisham, Games Radar, Press Row Podcast. Anything else? At Rich Grisham, hashtag Roll Tide.
All works.
Roll Tide.
That's right.
Greg Seward.
Bama.
Frontier Studios, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Player One Podcast.
The best podcast on the internet.
Amen.
I mean,
NeoGAF's fourth favorite podcast.
That's right.
That's because I'm not on NeoGAF, maybe.
It's true.
Maybe next year.
Yep.
They won't let me in, but it's cool.
We'll see. I got a lot of pull there. I'm going to keep them from leaving. That way we stay fourth.
I've got shot down twice.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting.
You were originally... You founded GAF,
I was one
right?
of the founders of Gaming Age.
Right.
NeoGAF grew out of that. I didn't have much to do with NeoGAF. That kind of happened after I left. But, yeah, I mean, we had the forum that NeoGAF kind of spawned out of was our forum.
Yep. Mm.
Yep. So, I get a membership pretty fast.
You should get me one.
I don't have any kind of pull.
You should ask.
Nobody there knows who I am.
It says it in your Twitter
profile. It's
all
evil lore.
That's true, but just you can write anything on Twitter profile. I'm going to put in that I started the That Sports Gamer show.
You should.
And you'll see what happens.
I wonder if we'll get more subscribers.
And there's Justin McElroy sighting.
Nice.
And Polygon.
Polygonal. He's holding hands.
Yeah, it's adorable. Yep. Young love.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.